When you go to church at Messiah, what stands out as the dominant feature inside the sanctuary? I'll give you a hint. It's on the cover of the hymnal. You can't help but notice that very large wooden cross hanging above the altar on the back wall. In fact, the brown trim on the white side walls will by design draw your eyes, if you don't notice it already, to that very prominent, very appropriate focal point of our Christian worship. For us today, the cross is a meaningful Christian symbol. It is not a method of execution as it once was. I can't imagine a modern society in this world concerned with human rights ever using crucifixion as a way to execute criminals. But God did exactly that with His beloved Son. God used a real cross to do more than execute Jesus. God used the cross of Christ to carry out the curse of sin to its fullest extent so as to benefit us. Let's read about that today. Selected verses, Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You can count up five times when in those two verses Paul writes either curse or cursed. Let's be clear on what he means. Cursed by whom? Cursed with what? As the starting point here, as always with God, His law has something to say for all people at all times. He will use that holy standard of commandments to be the judge of everyone. Everyone who breaks His law is judged by God with the curse of death and hell. That basically means that we, because of our sins, should bear the brunt of God's constant rejection, total banishment from His presence forever. That's what His holiness requires in that situation. That is what our sins deserve. That is the debt that we owe. The same debt that Jesus paid on a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Now, if we trace exactly what happened at the cross of Christ, there are many things to notice, starting with this event of horrific suffering on His part. Spikes about that long were nailed through His hands and His feet, bringing on pain that would go on for hours. Real blood flowed from wounds in His body. Meanwhile, the Almighty Son of God did not use His divine superpower to stop any of it, to deaden the pain, to come down from the cross as they taunted Him to do. He endured the whole thing, all the way up to the final moment of death. Yet the cross of Christ was more than a place of execution, because the curse of sin was more than physical suffering and dying on His part. For all practical purposes, the cross of Christ on that day was the location of hell. This is different than what Prof. Sullivan told us about yesterday. When Jesus, having come alive in His body, descended into hell, it was not for the purpose of suffering. He had already suffered during those dark hours on that Friday afternoon when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He said that because the Father, his heavenly Father, had left him. God had rejected his Son, in whom he was well pleased, for one reason: the fact that our sins and all sins of all people were placed on him. At the cross of Christ, God carried out a one-of-a-kind, holy form of anger management. That sounds strange, but consider. God vented his just anger on Jesus for that same reason, our sins. That too was part of the curse, part of the hell that he endured. And as a result, the debt is paid. God's justice completely met. The issue of our sins completely settled in God's court. So where does that leave you? From a negative point of view, no longer under the curse. From a positive point of view, forgiven, claimed, blessed by God, because Jesus took your curse for you. It was more than the price of a debt. It was the price of redemption. He bought us with his own blood, his own suffering, so that we would be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and also be the heirs of eternal life. What Paul writes in Galatians 3 can be summed up and is summed up by him with two words in 1 Corinthians: Christ crucified. Those two words say a lot. Christ, the one sent by God, chosen by God, anointed by God, is crucified. You can unpack that based on Galatians. Cursed by God with hell, so that we would be the redeemed of God. Please let that sink in. Personalize it for yourself. I'll start. Jesus took my hell on himself. That's how bad and damaging my sins are. Jesus did that to redeem you. That's how expensive your salvation is. That's how incredible his love is. Christ crucified will always be the certainty of our forgiveness from God, the guarantee of God blessing you and me, and the only foundation of that life we have with him today, tomorrow, forever. Amen. We'll close today with hymn 358, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. 1, 2, 3, and 6, hymn 358.